Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Go loud.
Talking bollocks with FBT Gyms. Unleash your fitness potential with no contract and full class access. FBTGyms.ie.
Go loud. Sounds better with us.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Try your whip in it now. Till your body is dead. Work it hard and long. When you finish that.
The Hypnoga.
Episode 212 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud and proudly supported by FBT Gyms.
Roy Calvin, tell me, this Hyrox thing that you're up to, what is it?
It's a new fitness and endurance competition. You run for a kilometre, followed by a workout like a sled push, then you run again, and you do that 8 times over with 8 different exercises, and the fastest time wins.
I thought you didn't even like running anymore. You threw away your shoes the last time I seen you doing a race.
And it's good crack if you have the right team around you. Like the amazing coaches at FBT Gyms, who are officially Hyrox affiliated and deliver brilliant Hyrox classes. I wasn't too sure about committing at first, but they built me up for a lot of hard work and it'll pay off on the day.
So anyone can do it if they join FBT Gym?
Anyone. Unleash your potential at FBT Gym for only €44 per month with no contract and full class access.
They have locations in Swords, Kewlock, Drogheda and the newest opening in Tallaght.
Sign up today at fptgyms.ie. So just to let you all know, we're actually re-recording this intro.
Yeah.
Because we had Kyla Cobbler on this week, Terry, and
we got carried away.
It got out of hand.
Yeah. So we were chatting about Coolio and sparkling water and everything else in between. And then we didn't even do an intro.
Yeah, it was too far gone.
It was too far gone to go. Well, actually, episode whatever. So now Kyla Cobbler is on this week. Comedian, very funny, legend.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think it really did. Chaos was the word. It just got out of hand.
It happens all the time, but sometimes with guests, they come in, there's just no structure. And you know nothing about them. I know nothing about her.
Yeah, her names aren't even Kyla Cobbler.
Oh, actually, remember that?
It's like going for a run. It's like, we're going to run at this light, leisurely pace, and you're like, no problem. And she start running, and a lot quicker than we thought. So we just had to catch up with her. So
we're doing this in the future, but does that make sense? For the past? No? For the past, for the future? Anyways, this is later on in life. It's Kyla Cobbler today, yeah? So enjoy.
I like 212.
Yeah, the song.
Yeah.
She doesn't like Irish people, though.
Apparently she's a cunt.
Yeah, so.
You can say cunt.
Cunt.
Oh, and come here, I don't think she's going to listen and be like, yeah, see, I want Kyla. Give me her fucking number. She's like, getting her off me.
She's meant to be nuts, though.
Yeah.
What?
She's meant to be
mental. Yeah. Mm. Only had like 2 bangers.
Two? What was the other one?
Is there not one where, hey ho?
That's the same song. That's 2-1-2.
There's only one, yeah. Though.
That's when 2-1-2 breaks down into like that.
That's the drop.
Yeah. So she had 2-1-2 and the chorus of 2-1-2.
Yeah. 2-1-2. That's
right. Great. We just kick this off then.
We've got a thing off for that now.
A what?
Yeah.
A thing off is like an either or a would you rather or something like that. We usually start with, we don't have to.
Yeah, let's do that.
Have you got one?
For us?
I love improv. Oh, you want me to do it for you guys? Okay.
Yeah, go for it. Have you got one?
Oh, right now. All right. Would you rather... All right, this one is for you, Calvin.
Yeah.
Would you rather fart blue smoke every time you farted or fart every 30 minutes?
So when I fart, it's like a gender reveal.
Yeah.
Essentially.
But it's always a man.
Yeah, it's always a boy. That's not a bad one. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Blue smoke?
So, as
but
in
you're
like...
You're in a pub and someone rips off... You know when someone rips off a Garrett, like a Guinness fart, where you know, like, you're going to take it. You need shit. There's a big blue smoke and everyone's like, oh fuck's sake, Calvin.
There's no denying it. So hang on.
You have to hide them as well.
Am I farting as sporadic as I'd fart on a normal day?
I don't know. That's your call. I don't know your body, bro.
Yeah, but like that's what I mean. Otherwise, you fart
the way you usually fart?
Yeah.
Every time you did that blue smoke?
Yeah, or 20
or
minutes.
Every half an hour.
I'm taking the blue smoke.
Yeah. Are you a fart? You a gassy man?
Not essentially. No, not really.
You got a good, your microbiome is happy.
No, like when I fart, it's bad, but I'm not farting often.
Do you, yeah, so you fart, you know, more, I mean? Closer like, to having poo.
I wouldn't be farting during the podcast.
No, but in the bonus episodes, you do. Be.
Yeah, and that just be at the end of the day.
When we don't have
that's
a guest different. In, he just let him rip in there.
Because he's comfortable. That's actually quite sweet. Because manners, he feels comfortable around you that he lets his body relax.
Do you know what else I'd love to try, and I've never did it, and I've seen people try it, but I always thought the conditions weren't right. You know that myth that if you put like a fart at light, you get the...
No, that's not true.
Is that a myth?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Have some fucking fire.
That, well, you never know. That's what, like, it's...
I mean, I don't think that there's enough power behind the...
There's no methane. Yeah, there's no methane in your fart. Do you like that? That's science.
I know methane and cows' farts are bad for the environment, but I don't know if that's a myth or not.
That's Eamon Ryan for you. Don't mind him. You know what I mean?
Who Eamon Ryan is?
He was the Minister for Agriculture.
Was he?
And the Green... He's the head of the Green Party.
The Green Party?
Yeah, we have a Green Party now.
Jeez.
It's been a while since you've been here, so
I don't know anything. But even if I lived here, I could tell you where the moon is at every day of the week, like what phase it's in. But like, see all this shit, I haven't a fucking notion, lads. I just don't believe in any of it. I'm like, it's all nonsense. We're not in control.
I don't think
it matters.
Like, you just had to get dropped onto Earth.
That's what it feels like.
I don't think knowing who the minister for different departments
is. Spain.
Is spiritual.
But I live in Spain.
But it's not as if you're going to worship it. You were like, I don't believe in any of that. The government?
No. Yeah.
What?
I don't believe in the government.
Right.
Don't believe in the government.
Yes, Coyle.
This
I don't
is
know.
This
you know
is
who
mad,
I believe in? Coolio.
All right.
You know who my leader is? Coolio. Or Brendan, as his friends know him as.
Yeah.
I do. I'm only joking. I do. I love the government. They're class.
Yeah. I'm sure they are, yeah.
They've really done us well.
Kick us off.
So we never actually done the intro. We'll do the intro now. Episode 212. Who's this coming in?
One sec.
Oh, she got the sparkle of rose. Oh, Coolio didn't even get that.
Oh my God, I coolioed. I just got coolioed.
We haven't done the intro yet, and the reason why is because we were chatting off here, and what we like to do with all the guests is we shoehorn a story in about Coolio. Coyle, we asked you, did you want the coffee, a tea, a water? And you were like, no, we'll take a fizzy water. And I was like,
I didn't say, hold on now. Okay. I didn't say, I said, if you don't mind, it's no problem if you don't, but if you have fizzy water, I'd love that.
It's no problem if you don't. She just sent some in the shop.
Yeah.
But anyways... We were like, do you know who asked for sparkling water before? Coolio. And then Terrence had to tell the story about Coolio. And we were like, Coolio, I want the people to go to shop and all. Like, that was so rude. That was.
So did he do the podcast?
Yeah.
And was there a bit of tension?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did it last?
Oh, the tension or the podcast?
The podcast. I'm guessing for the whole podcast, the tension. I don't think there was a question.
No, it was about halfway through, was it?
Podcast was about 90 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so the fight was over his demands?
No.
Oh, tell me what the fight was.
What was the...
The fight was over. Terrence said to him that he fell off. And would he agree? In general, like he just fell off.
Oh yeah, like he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, but after the 90s.
Yeah, fair.
But give her the quote.
He was like, I fell off. He was like, I'm fucking in the baddest whips with the baddest bitches in the biggest clubs. Fuck it, if that's falling off, then I fall off again. And we're like, all right, Coolio, good answer.
And he was like, oh, baller.
Brendan, chill.
Yeah. Calm the jets out.
Coyle's just giving him the name Brendan, by the way, as well.
Yeah, I think to soften his cough, we need to use his real name. And I didn't think it was going to be as cool, but turns out Coolio's name is actually pretty cool.
His name is Artis.
Artis Leon Ivy.
Artis Leon Ivy Jr.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. The quadruple
what
battle.
What I want to know is who's senior. That's a big name to take on.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good question.
You don't think, all right, three names, let's go junior on that. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Speaking of junior, my brother's name, so my dad's name is Aiden and my brother's name is also Aiden, so we call him AJ.
Yeah.
But my man and dad are not the brightest, obviously, because they didn't realise he automatically becomes Aiden Junior. His middle name is actually Junior.
No way.
So his name is Aiden Junior, O'Brien Junior.
Kind of a statement.
Do you know what I mean?
Calvin is quite, how old are you?
31.
Are you?
Yeah.
Calvin's quite a modern name for a 31-year-old.
Modern?
Remember we went through the Yelp?
Yeah, kind of.
This seems to be a segue every week now, Coyle.
Why?
Because we only went through this the other week with Justine Stafford.
I love Justine.
Yeah, she's a legend. But you can check how many Calvins were born every year.
No way.
And how many Coilers were born, Tardins or something.
My name growing up, I was born in 91, I'm 34, and my name growing up was a fucking nightmare. People just couldn't get their head around it.
Coyle?
Michaela.
Oh, so it's not Coyle?
No, it's Michaela.
I might have been saying myself, am I saying her name wrong the
You're
whole
crushing
time?
It.
Can you spell it?
I can, yeah. M-I-K-Y-L-A.
Right, that is a...
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it? A Y in Ireland? Who the fuck does she think she is?
Yeah.
Look her up, see.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking up now.
And then after that.
Now Kyla, I think, is pretty popular.
Yeah, Coyle is. I've never heard of Michaela.
My mom is from the north. That's why everyone used to call me Michaela and used to call me nuts because it's not my fucking name.
See, essentially, originally, I thought your name was Michaela.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, she just has a Cork accent. Do you know what I mean?
What was the other one?
Originally.
I feel like those two could be used in substitute of each other. Do you reckon?
I'm not going to stop you. Mm-hmm. Come here, I failed English when we leaving here, though. I'm not going to correct you.
English?
Yeah, it was bad, wasn't it?
No, I did foundation maths. It was the best thing I ever done. Thank fuck. It was like, if Calvin has 6 oranges and Terence has 6 oranges, how many oranges do they have together? And then a bracket's like, if you don't get 12, try again. I had to finish it, right?
Yeah.
To pass it.
Just to get it done.
What did you get in your leaving cert?
I didn't do the leaving cert.
You didn't
cert.
Do it?
No.
What did you get, Calvin?
Oh, low. What was that thing? The hair scheme. You know that if you're from a disadvantaged area, you get like a little bumper.
Nice.
Yeah,
I got to go in a secret room with a person who read it for me.
Yeah, I always wondered about them.
I just got all the disses, dyspraxia and dyslexia and all that shit.
Right. I always wondered about that. Like, surely if you're struggling on something, they'd help
you
out.
Definitely. And you get Bickies, which is class. You get like digestive biscuits and chocolate on them and everything.
That's a lot of bollocks.
Mm. You're a proper looked after.
Oh yeah, big time. I was wearing a fur coat as well. Nobody knew why.
Just say you were posh. It's grand. Office, you went to private school. Coat, right, what year are we going?
91.
They were 91 and 25.
M-I-K-A-Y.
No, M-I-K-Y-L-A.
Right. Go one more time.
M-I.
Yeah.
K-Y.
L-A.
L-A.
I feel like that's like Greek or something.
I just was in Athens. Isn't that weird?
Well, there you go. Over there looking at the origins of your name. Michaela. Why is it not letting me fucking... Even the CSO was struggling with this. It says no results.
In 91?
Yeah.
In Ireland?
Yeah.
Right.
She's on the bleeding chair.
True. All right, so...
She could be lying.
I am lying. So my real name is spelled differently.
No.
You caught me ratting there.
Caught you.
Ready? M-I-C-H-A-E-L-A-A-N-N-E. So it's Michaela Ann.
Why did you lie?
Because when I say Michaela, and then people say, that's Michaela, and I say, no, the A and the E are turned around. So I lied.
I'm so confused.
I'm very confused. You're the first guest I think to ever come in here and lie about the name.
And there's
I'm
no need.
I'm going to tell a lot of lies today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Right.
Get ready.
Defamation cases all over the place.
What's on your birthday?
Go. Michaela Ann O'Connor.
Right. What are you roaring at me for?
Well,
M-O-I.
I feel like I'm being interrogated, lads.
You're asking me to look up something and it just doesn't...
I never asked you. He asked you.
I did ask you. She just wants to be interviewed.
Listen, I'm kind of starting to side with Coolio here.
Yeah. I'll fuck this phone out the window.
Right, Coyle, anyways.
Yeah, sorry.
Will we just get the podcast started?
I just received a little fact. If it's less than 3, it won't come up in the CSO. If the result is less than three.
And did you look up Michaela Ann?
No, we didn't. The length of that. We'll be here all episode 213, me still looking up Michaela Ann.
Right, so this is episode 212 of Talking Bollocks, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week we're joined by...
Coyle Cobbler.
Legend.
Coyle,
thanks for
coming. So your second name's not Cobbler either?
No, but that's a fun story.
Right, go for it.
Actually started with a lie. There you go. I love lying. For anyone who's just started listening, I love lying. So when I was on dating apps years ago, and I was always at hospitality, I always worked as a waitress or a bartender, and it was very boring saying that I was a bartender. So I used to tell fellas in Italy, because Italian men are fierce boring, beautiful, but boring. And I used to tell them, it's true, I used to tell them that I was a cobbler. This is my crack. I was like, I'm actually a cobbler. And they were like, I don't know what it was, lads. They loved it. They were like, oh my God, that's...
like Geppetto.
Oh, exactly like Geppetto. Or was he not a puppet maker?
Type was a cobbler.
Is Geppetto not Pinocchio's dad?
Yeah.
Was he? Where am I getting this? Shoes from? Involved? Because wood, you're there. I can see the workshop, but I don't know if there were shoes involved.
Let's just say he was.
Okay.
In exactly our Pinocchio, like he was.
In our Pinocchio. Yeah. So I used to always tell people I was a cobbler, and men used to fucking just absolute boner city for it. I don't know what it was, lads. They loved it. They absolutely loved it. And then I was texting this guy. Usually when I'm online dating, I would do like max 6 days texting. And I'm like, let's get a coffee. Because you don't know, right? Until you're in front of someone. So this went on for weeks. I was texting him because I left for holidays and he left for holidays. And we just kind of kept in contact. Finally, the date arrives. Federico was his name. And we go for a pizza and a beer. And I get there and he brought a bag of shoes with him for me to fix.
No way.
I swear to God, right? So he walks in with these shoes. I see the bag and I'm like, he's after getting me a present. Fucking legend. Definitely getting the ride. Let's fucking go. And takes out these shoes. And I'm like, oh. And I'd forgotten at this point, you know. And I like burst my whole laughing. And I was like, oh my God, Federico, I'm so sorry. I was like, it was only a bit of carry on. This is all in Italian. I was like, it's only a bit of a laugh. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, just a bit of a laugh. Like, I was like, and he's like, what, why is lying funny? I was like, well, in Ireland, it's called carry on. It's not even, you know. And I'm laughing. And he gets up and he absolutely fucking goes nuts. And he's like, you're a fucking lying bitch and you're disloyal. And I was like, disloyal to who? Like Geppetto and the lads. Like, what are you talking about? Disloyal? Who am I disloyal to? And he fucked off and he left me there. And then he walked out and I went, you know what? You've got a hole in your soul.
Oh, very good.
And he was like,
very
get
good.
Out. And I was like, all right, sorry about that. And then he left me there with two pizzas and two beers.
So sounds like you got the good end of the deal there.
Kyla Cobbler. That's where it came from. Kyla the Cobbler. It's a great name though, right?
I love
the stage
like that.
Name.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Michaela O'Connor, if I was doing comedy, sounds like a UFC fighter.
Does.
Doesn't it? It's a bit strong.
Yeah.
It's a bit strong for a lady. Like
yeah. But then you add Michaela Ann O'Connor.
Michaela Ann O'Connor.
She's going to punch your fucking head in.
Yeah. She's strict.
Yeah. You're getting her off.
You're getting it off her.
Yeah.
Not in a nice way, in the worst way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Good baiting. Yeah.
What'd you say?
A good baiting.
Oh, they said a good bang. I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. We've just met. I'm glad I gave off that vibe.
Federico was telling me. You know what I mean? Federico on the bus.
Great ride. Terrible comedian.
Yeah. Kyla, reviews, yeah.
Where are you from?
Cork.
And you're saying you were living in Italy, Spain. Yeah. What happened there?
I left Ireland. I left school. I hated school so much. I absolutely hated it. I felt so stupid. And I finished and I was like, well, I'm not going to fucking stay here when I can just be a waitress anywhere. So I went to Australia, like everyone did during those years. And I didn't like Australia very much. It was empty. There's nothing there. There's no castles. There's no languages. It's just Australians and loads of animals that can kill you. That's about it. Everyone loves it. And everyone was like, you're going to make loads of money. You can make loads of money. And I was like, yeah. And I went and I was like, yeah, you have to work loads though. Not, you know what I mean? You don't just like make loads of money. Yeah. You've got to work a lot. And so I got there and I was like, well, what am I going to do here? So I actually got a job in the Merries, you know, like Funderland.
Okay.
I got a job doing that. So I went around all Australia. That was class. And I met this fella, this Italian fella at a hostel. Oh my God, he was gorgeous. And I fell in love. I was only 21. So you know that love as well where you're like, oh, you know.
What was his name?
Matteo Milani.
Oh, the Italians names are just
great names. Great names.
Matteo. You won't get anyone like in Italy that won't, they don't stem away from the traditional names.
Absolutely not.
You're not going to get like a, oh, there's Alex.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
There's Calvin. You're not going to get Ben. That. They're no, all fucking.
No. Although Irish names are gorgeous, I think. Like Ascoilga.
Yeah, but you're not going to get, you don't get many Irish no. traditional names.
And some of the girls' names are tough.
Yeah,
tough
like Michaela.
Michaela's not
Michaela, you know what I mean?
Calvin. I'm talking about a Grania. That's what I'm talking about.
Or a Siobhan.
You'd be riding a Grania. That's hard. That's
that is hard. Yeah. That's a hard sell.
You don't want to be riding a Grania. Like,
yeah.
That's not.
That's a hard sell. Yeah, it is.
You know, it's a hard sell. Yeah. You don't want to be on the fathers. You know what I mean? When you're trying to. Yeah. Anyway. So, Matteo Milani was his name. Matteo Milani was his name. I met him and I fell in love. So, I was like, well, I'll come to Italy. Like, and I went to Italy. It lasted about 6 weeks, obviously. And I just stayed because it was the first time I was picking up the language quite well. And I was like, oh, I did German in school for like 6 years, lads. Nothing. Like, not a fucking word. I just can't learn in a classroom situation. Like, So then I was in Italy and I was always kind of thinking, I suppose my only worry was like, I kind of didn't know how I'd make a career because I didn't have the education behind me. And I was really worried that I'd always have to be like, oh, I don't know, working for someone else, or I just kind of wanted to find a thing. But I didn't know how to do that without going to third level education because they don't really give you a lot of options here. You know, my carpentry skills aren't great. You know what I mean? I'm not good at like trade. So I was like, and I tried hairdressing and that was a fucking nightmare. So I was working in restaurants and in the middle of Milan And every day at like from like 12 to 3, there'd be this big rush of people in these really fancy suits. And I was like, oh my God, who are these people? You know, so I started chatting to them and they all worked in fashion. And I was like, what do you need to do that? And they were like, nothing. You just have to be able to sell. And I was like, well, that's perfect, you know. So I learned Italian and then I got my first job in a shop. It was called Jump and they used to sell like Converse and Nikes and tracksuits and stuff. And I used to work in the storeroom. And then from there, I went to Manila Grace, which is kind of a little bit more fancy. So a little bit more fancy than Zara, you know, like not like really, really fancy, but a little bit more fancy. And then from there, I got headhunted by Dolce & Gabbana.
Fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
how'd you get headhunted as like a shop assistant?
Yeah, yeah, because it's different because you're in the shopping district. So it's like a different attitude toward it. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be like here, kind of where you just go in. Like, it's all very, like, uppity. You know what I mean? It's very
serious. They take it serious.
Very serious.
They do take it serious.
Very serious. It's like art.
And, yeah. You know, the Italians, they're so expressive for everything, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's complete. And in fairness, like, when you work in Milan, in those stores, a lot of them are protected by the Belle Arte. So, like, there's old villas.
Yeah.
So it's all, and like, with alfresco ceilings. And then you have, like, racks of clothes. Like, it is cool. I have to say, it is cool. Nonsense, but great. I'm, you know.
Notions. We call it. Yeah, that's what that is.
Notions. Sparkling water, notions.
Yeah.
So then I was in Dolce & Gabbana for a while and then Archani for a while. So I kind of specialized in leathers. So like python skin and crocodile skin and this stuff. And then I got to like 27 or 26. I can't even remember. I was with a fella then. I got engaged and all this. He was an old fella. I know, yeah.
Yeah, you know what you do, like, yeah.
Just blaze on.
Yeah. Everybody, I can't even honestly. Do you ever look back on like old relationships and you're like, oh my gosh.
Without being disrespectful and all, just like neither of us have been engaged, so like you can look back and be like, oh, what was I thinking? But you were like,
that
was a bit of a jump now,
a bit
of a commitment there.
Yeah, well, I was with him for like, he was 17 years older than me, but he was gorgeous, he wasn't mank, do you know what I mean? He wasn't like 17, like he was a ride, but he was just, I suppose, I was just young and I kind of was like, yeah, I felt like that was the right thing to, because it's hard in your 20s, right? Because you're like, I need to do these, I need to have a house and I need to do more. You think you need to hit these milestones because that's what society tells you have to do.
Yeah.
And then when you don't get to them, you're like, I don't know how to fucking do this. I don't have any skills, you know? So, and then we ended it. So that was like a period of my life too. And then I kind of finished it with him. I left fashion because it was just soul destroying, but I paid off my credit union loan.
You're a bit. Yeah.
That's the absolute fucking win. And I was in Milan, I was kind of sick of it, and I thought, if I learn another language by the time I'm 30, when I get to 30, maybe I can do like a corporate job because I'll have two languages, I'm good at languages, you know. So I was like, that's kind of like having a degree, right?
Yeah,
like speaking languages. So I was like, I'll go to Spain. So I had never even been to Barcelona, but everyone was like, just start in Barcelona because there's English there. And I just booked it and then I went.
What was life like in Cork for you?
Yeah, it was okay. Like, it wasn't, I mean, I left so long ago. I was gone by the time I was 18. Like, it was just, do you know what it was? It was just, I really, really suffered in school. Like, I really, really suffered. Like, I absolutely hated it. So it was just, I don't have very fond memories.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why?
Because I was obviously chatty and I am intelligent, but I'm not academically intelligent. I'm not academically smart. So all through school, I wasn't diagnosed with anything. And I just, teachers were like frustrated and they would get angry at me. And then like, she's not trying. And I bloody was trying. I was fucking trying really hard, but I wasn't able to, you know, bring any results to the table because I was struggling with all the learning disabilities, you know. And then you do get help. Like in primary school, I used to get taken out of school, out of class to get extra help, but then you miss things and then it was all just too much. I just didn't learn properly. And I have dyspraxia quite badly. And with dyspraxia, it's quite sensory. So like, you know what? Fucking it's the uniforms.
Mm.
Like when you think about it now, like little tiny office workers, they send us off at 6 years old with leather shoes and shirts and ties. And I remember my top button, lads.
Tear the neck off you.
Haunts me.
Yeah.
Mm. The top button fucking haunted me. So
see that in your face, Kyla. Like you're looking back.
Honestly, I remember people saying they're the best years of your lives. And I was like, I hope to God, isn't it? Like, you know. So, and I just never felt, I just never felt good. I just never felt, I mean, now looking back, and then also like puberty and all this stuff and Ireland back then, like it was just all, I just felt like a fucking alien, I suppose. I'm not even an alien, but just like, and like the girls, I didn't really have like a gang, so to speak. You know, like I could sit down anyone, but I just never felt like I could have. I never thrived.
Mm.
I never thrived. I ran. I'm a good runner. So running was great. I love running in Ireland. When I come home now for shows, I love going out running in the cold weather. My lungs love it. So running was good. My family are nice.
I thought you meant metaphorically you loved running because you went straight to Australia then to Italy.
No. Like actually physically jogging. Yeah, no. I love running. And I suppose this was a time as well before like lads' wellness and fitness and meditation and affirmation. Like I love all that. Like, but sure, back then when you do anything like that, people are like notions, like, you know. So yeah, it wasn't great, to be honest. I don't have any friends back in my old, where I'm from. I don't have any like people where I'm like, oh, I really miss you. I have family, but my friends. And I think learning Italian maybe gave me permission to express myself differently because I was speaking a different language.
I think as well, Italian is one of the most expressive languages. Yeah. They have a word for everything.
Everything. And everything. More than one.
Yeah. More so you can one. Wake up in the morning, like, your head's all over the place and there's an Italian word for that.
Yeah, yeah.
They have I woke with a few Italians and like they'd all say something.
It's gorgeous.
And they'd all say, oh, this is what that means. Yeah. I was like, that's fucking deadly. Like.
It's a beautiful language. And also because it's so close to Latin, it actually gives you a really good opening to all the other languages.
Mm.
So like if I'm in France or if I'm in Portugal, I can grasp something in conversation because it's all there. You know what I mean? It's all there. Like
I always say it's one of my biggest regrets not learning another language.
There's plenty of time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I haven't got plenty of time to employ myself, though. I feel like the best way to employ yourself is put yourself in a situation where you're going to be speaking it every day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
I have a friend of mine, he's traveling South America.
Yeah.
And he done a lot of lessons before he went.
Yeah.
And then he said he got there, it's completely different. But he's just learning the lingo and the slang words and what have you from like the Colombians and the Venezuelans and what
have
you.
Which is such a different Spanish, hey?
Yeah.
Like, but I remember going to Italy and listening and not hearing the beginning and end of words. So like people were talking, I was like, oh my God, I can't even hear like where one begins and one ends. You know, like it was so daunting. Jesus Christ, it was so daunting. Just a little more.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
You mentioned running and affirmations and meditation all day. Yeah. How do you get down that route?
I don't even know, to be honest. I think I kind of left Ireland and I had a sour taste in my mouth. And then as you stay in other countries and as you like be Irish somewhere else, I'm not superstitious, but I do love folklore. Like I love all the Irish folklore and the magpies and, you know, all this stuff. And I think just kind of reading more about that and that practice and what we were before the Catholic Church really appealed to me. Like I loved that because I feel like if I was born in a different time, I'd crush it in a tribe. Right, like you know what I mean? I'm like, if I didn't have the leave me, sir, I would have been great in the community. Like, I would have been able to do something. I'm a hard worker, you know. But it just the system ran and killed me. Like, so with all the affirmations and meditations and stuff, I think it was quite organic. There wasn't a big moment, to be honest. I suppose as you get older and you experience different things in your life, you seek more meaning, right?
Mm.
You seek more meaning to things, and you're like, oh, there has to be something else than what we perceive. And then when you start to really look into it and go deeper into, like, as I said, meditations or whatever you want to believe, I'm like, it's really cool to think that I have the power to lay out my path after years of being told that you're something, that you're stupid or you're not trying or you don't make the effort. So I think it gave me a sense of power, you know, that kind of more spiritual side to life. But then I was fighting constantly with myself because I'm from Cork, like, you know, so I was like, I'd be meditating, I'd be absolutely mortified.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, on the flip side of that, there's such a huge wellness community in Ireland now. Like,
now there is.
Yeah.
Now there is. Now so it's beautiful to see. I mean, it's great to see. But it just wasn't like that when I was growing up.
So you're probably years ahead of everything. You could just come back in. You're probably about five or 6 years ahead of everyone that's five or six years into it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe, you know what I mean? You'd be like, yeah, sit down, I'll show you how it's done.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a whole fucking way of life. That's why I asked you. Because it's not something that it's not like you just throw your hand at it. It's like people that are in that wellness community, it's like that's the whole fucking life. Like they live.
But then I see, this is where I really, this is always where I kind of like struggle with things, because I feel like extremities and people who really dedicate their life to certain things is fantastic and great, but I really believe in the dark and the light, like in your shadow self as well. So I feel like I've lived my life where I've been extremely strict and really disciplined with, you know, journaling and cold plunges and all the rigmarole of it. And it just gets to a point where you lose kind of what you were. You know, you lose that little bit of you that's mischievous and that's a bit rogue. And, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
A bit more fun.
Because you're so strict, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because like, then you see people and then they become wankers. They do. They become absolute wankers. And you're like, this is just so painful. Like, you know, like, because I love doing it, but I hate going to the groups of people.
Because it's like a chore then.
Yeah. Like, I hate, like, I love going, I jump into the cold water. I go into the sea all the time. But like, every time I get invited to like, oh, we're doing a sunrise meditation. So I'm like, we're grand.
Is this, I heard a rumor about you. Is it true that you do naked sea swims?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that... Is that why you were like,
where did you hear this? Was the
I always get into the water nude. No, no one, it's really normal in Spain. No one's looking at me. Trust the Spanish girls, she don't be looking at me for fuck's sake. There's not one man on that beach thinking, look at the pale one there, she's class.
I've been to Spain loads of times and no one's ever gone in the nip and just jumped into the sea beside me.
Yeah, but where have you gone to?
You'd be surprised. I'd be surprised. I couldn't even name the places I've been to.
I mean, no, yeah. I mean, I don't do it in... I mean, I obviously go somewhere a little bit more.
The nude beaches?
Not even the nude beaches, but I just go down at 6 a.m, Calvin. Like, I'm not going down in the La Santa Pons. I'm like, oh, how are we? Happy holidays. Welcome to Spain. Like, that's not my... Yeah, in the privacy of, you know, in the mornings, I jump in or... I actually had a really lovely moment when I was... I used to go down all the time. I didn't drink for a year and it was very hard. It was a very big journey. And I got into the water. I used to get in sometimes, and if there's people around, I don't. Like if there's fellas working out, whatever, I don't. Like I'm not my vibe. So I didn't, no judgment to whoever does it, but I don't feel comfortable. Always boobies out, always, because whatever.
Why not?
Why not? And I got into water nude and I got back out and I got dressed and I could see this guy kind of looking, not in a creepy way, and he kind of came over and I had seen him working out there loads because it's right next to the gym, the outdoor gym, and he was like, I just want to say I love when you go naked swimming, it really, I feel like it's a good omen for the day.
Where was this?
In Barcelona. Yeah. And I was like, I appreciate that, bro.
You wouldn't get away with that in like Dollymount or 40.
No, absolutely not. No, oh my
God. I love when you were in the water and you were like, sound like this, Agarda.
But it was just such a natural, and you feel it, right? When it's weird and not weird, but he was so like, I mean, he tiptoed toward me to not be threatening and not make me feel uncomfortable, you know? And I was like, what's up? Like, you know, and he's like, the morning, he was like, it's cool. I was like, when I see you naked swimming, I'm like, it's going to be a good day.
Do you know what? I'd be in favour of it. I'd love to give her a bash, but...
Do you know what I think it might? I think it might be. This might be a bit of a stretch, but you know, in the womb, you're in water and you're nude.
Yeah.
I feel like, Jeff, I mean, I promise you, naked swimming, lads, it's...
Liberating.
It's just lovely.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're all in. You're just... And you're nothing. You're nothing.
Yeah. I'd love to give her a bash. I really would.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, should. Like, where are you going to do it here? Do you know what I mean?
I wouldn't. I've never even been in a two-piece in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all chat, lads, but when it comes to being at home, I'm like, I wouldn't, like, one-piece swimming tog, and that's it.
Wetsuit on.
Yeah, exactly, in a burqa. I completely understand the difference of the freedom of being away from it, or the freedom of speaking a different language. Like, I understand what that is, you know, I totally get it.
I'm trying to think, the closest I had to that was, we went to Switzerland, and there was a spa in the hotel, so we went down to the sauna, and you had to strip off before you got into the spa. Yeah, and I was like, this is mad weird. And you're like,
nudity.
Trying to cover up and all. And then it's just, everyone's just slouting past, letting her all hang out. And you're like,
I know.
Why am I so fucking conscious about this? But, and then you're like, do you know when you go to a steam room and all, you're not supposed to wear anything.
In a steam room?
And a sauna. And you're not supposed to wear any of them.
You're supposed to be nude.
If you went to like France or fucking Italy or Germany and went to a gym there and you weren't in the nude, everyone would look at you and be like, start with this fella.
Yeah.
Whereas over here, if you attempt to walk anywhere in the nude, you're like, arrest him.
Yeah.
But... rightfully so in some cases, no.
But I mean, it's all relative.
But yeah. Look at the culture. Relative. Look at the culture. The like, culture we're weird to them for not being in the news.
But even like when I started the gym in Italy and you'd finish the gym and have a shower and everyone stands nude. And that was the first time. I don't come from a naked family. You know, like some families, like, I don't come from that like at all. So I remember the first time seeing women, like real women, like mothers and grandmothers nude and looking at the female body, not in skinny jeans and a top and tan and just being like, oh my God, we're right.
Yeah.
Like it was like seeing something powerful. It was like an honor. Like it wasn't, it was like seeing these women and their boobs were like, you know, like some woman, I remember this pregnant woman and she was pregnant and her boobs were full of milk. And I was like, holy shit, you're making a fucking human. Like, and I was staring at her and I was like, sorry. I was like, you look stunning. And she was like, oh, I feel fucking mank. And I was like, I know, I get it. I was like, but you look, and it's cool. And I do think there is, I mean, now to implement it in Ireland would be impossible, but I think there's a huge positive, a huge benefit to seeing someone, you know, seeing being naked around people. It makes you feel normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because what do we see that's naked? We see pornography. We see sex scenes.
Yeah.
We see movie stars.
Yeah.
And then you look at yourself and you're like, well, I don't look like that.
Yeah.
But it's a Catholic guilt.
Of course.
Has to be.
Of course it is. How dare you be expressive?
Yeah. I only knew from when I was walking with people who came from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us would go to the gym at lunchtime or whatever. And we were talking about the steam room and the sauna and blah, blah, blah. And one of them brought that up. And I was like, that can't be right. And then another fellow was German. He's like, no, that's... He's like, you're weird.
Yeah.
In Germany.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think the other fellow was Romanian. He was like, we don't do that in Romania either.
Yeah,
I was
like,
what? Then when I went to Switzerland, I was like, this is...
I know.
It's very overwhelming.
Very like, overwhelming.
Then when someone walks past, you're like covering yourself and you're like,
Why am
I doing this?
Yeah.
We're going to bring it back. I think we'll bring it in here. We'll be 30. Just,
we better warn people.
Just open the gym. Just open the gym. Yeah. Be like, listen,
you have to be in the nip.
Willie's
out. That's it. Letting her all hang out.
Go. Yeah.
Do you come from a religious family, Coyle?
My mother's side would have been extremely religious. Yeah. My mom's, my granny Mona, God rest her soul, she passed away in 2021. She was like super religious.
Mm.
Like, my mom is from Belfast, from Lisburn. Sorry, mom. She was outside of Belfast. And they were Catholics during the Troubles.
Right.
So it was like, I mean, extremely, extremely religious. But like, I mean, I think all of Ireland has this umbrella of the Catholic Church, right? I don't think you need, I mean, and I when I used to go to Mass and stuff, I didn't mind Mass. Like, I really enjoyed praying. I miss prayer. Like, it feels weird to pray now, Catholic prayer, but we all know the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Holy Angel God. And now we don't say it because I don't believe in that, but I do miss that repetition. I think that's why affirmations for me are more of a positive experience, because I do like the repetition of words. Like, I think that does, I think putting that out into the ethos brings something back. I genuinely do.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
So are you looking for a spiritual guidance, is what you're saying? Is that what?
I think myself to be a part of a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
100%. I don't think that this is, I think it's a miracle that I'm here. I think about it all the time. I'm like, I all the time. I'm like, I cannot believe I mean, you think about the universe. I mean, it's mental. It's actually kind of cool. Like that we're here.
Mm.
Like, look at us. And we're just like on this rock in the middle of this gigantic thing.
And we don't even know what this thing is.
Yeah. And they're like, right, okay, you've got like average 70 years. Make the best of it. You know? And then people are like, I'm not taking off my t-shirt.
<You know? laughs> Boy, it's like, just strip.
I'm like, let's go. Like, you know, like, yeah, you know, like, I know that sounds extreme, but that's how I feel. I think about it all the time.
I love that though. I love when people bring up that kind of perspective on things, because so many of us stress about so much shit in the world.
Yeah, of course.
And then you're just like, we're on a floating fucking rock.
Yeah.
For a few,
For a few, nothing.
Mm.
We're nothing. In realistically, in what time is, nothing. We're not here. And we, you know, we're so
worried.
When
we get deeper again, what is time?
Yeah.
Man made constructs, dollars,
bikes, rooms.
I also heard another rumor as well.
Tell me. Where are you getting your rumors? I feel like I'm on Hot Ones.
Have an earpiece. Yeah. So she does grow a mushroom.
Yeah, I was a big psychedelic lady. I actually don't grow them anymore. I don't have enough time to give them the love that they deserve. But yeah, I went through a big mushroom growing phase, big psychedelic gal. Love it. Love all that crack. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Coyle, fill me in hell. Why?
Why mushrooms?
Yeah.
Well, mushrooms, because I've taken other drugs, obviously, and I've never...
Obviously.
Yeah, come on. Like, I mean, imagine, like, I mean, back in the day. I mean, nothing. I was, look, the one thing, and I know coke is mad here, I think I took coke twice. I tried it 2 times and I never in my life, I could not, I don't understand at all how anyone, I just find it absolutely, ugh. And then like MDMA and these things and pills, I did all that when I was really young and partying and discos and whatever, discos, legend. And then then shrooms. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just so cool because mushrooms, like as a fungi, are really interesting plants. And they're like, you know that now in Chernobyl, you know, remember Chernobyl from years ago? You know that now in Chernobyl, there's these mushrooms growing that are new to the ecosystem that are eating the radioactive.
I heard something about this.
I mean, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Look at Mother Nature being like, I got you. Just give me time. That's sick.
Yeah.
You know,
I wouldn't want to be trying them. I'd say that'd be some trip, yeah.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, I always loved mushrooms and I don't know, have you ever tried shrooms?
Yeah.
I mean, in nature, I've never taken them inside. I've never taken them indoors or like in like an area where there's walls or anything, but like camping. And I've been very lucky because I always lived in Milan. So I was an hour away from the Alps.
Yeah.
I mean, the Alps in springtime and shrooms when everything is blooming. It's a pretty beautiful experience.
Yeah.
But it's been years. I haven't taken anything in, I got no time. And now I'm kind of like pretty tripping on life. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is class. I think I just needed that little kind of in to like see something else. And now I just feel really happy, just sober. I'm just happy to like...
I was going to say, you're just sober now as well.
Yeah, like I'm not opposed to it at all. Like if there was the right situation and it popped up, I'd be like, yeah, sure. But like my life is great. I'm very, very lucky. I'm a very lucky person. Like I have a really beautiful life and really beautiful people around me. So it's a buzz, you know what I mean? And I feel very grateful that I don't need anything.
And how does that happen? Why do you that decision? Because it's a big decision. I know you're saying you're open to.
Yeah.
But it's a big decision to go, I'm just not going to take anything anymore.
I suppose when I got sober, because I definitely had a problem with alcohol. And when I started comedy, I was in bars. I worked in bars my whole life. And you just, I mean, no matter what you do, right, you're in it. Like you just, if you can't beat them, join them. You know, like I was, every day I'd go in and say, I'm not going to drink. And then you'd end up having shots. But I was working so hard. And then I started doing comedy in Barcelona and you get paid and booze. And then all of a sudden I found myself waking up like every morning hungover. And that's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's horrible. And then I decided to do Dry January. And only in doing Dry January, I realized that I had like an issue with it. And I was like, I called myself an alcoholic. I was like, I'm an alcoholic. I need to be in recovery. I went all in AA and everything. Did the whole, all of that for about 6 months. And then it got to a point where for me, and like this is very, everyone has their own experience and I don't shit on AA at all. I think it's fantastic. And if it suits you, benvenga, like go for it. But for me, it was quite restricting the idea of once an addict, always an addict. Just how I think of life and how I think that everything is temporary and constantly evolving and moving. It didn't suit my thesis of life. So I didn't agree with it. So I got to like 417 days and I did the Cork Opera House. It sold out and I called the show Gone Rogue after my grandfather who also died. And he loved a wee drop of whiskey. Now he was sober 17 years, but he loved a wee bit of whiskey back in the day. And I had a wee whiskey. And that was kind of the first time I had drank. And then after that, it just kind of popped in and out every so often. If I'm celebrating, I'll have a show. Like I was in Paris, I did a show in Paris and I had a glass of champagne from Champagne in Paris. You know, that kind of stuff, I'll have it. But to be honest, there wasn't really a big, you know, black and white moment. It was just kind of like, take it as it comes. You know?
A lot of times there isn't a big black and white moment. That was just gradual. You realise you're here now and
grow.
Oh, I need change.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously you're mentioning the part there. I love your freedom though. I love the fact that you're able, I'm going to say rather than willing, but able to, if you want, have a sup here.
Because
for a lot of people, obviously that isn't
the case.
You know, but the Dry January thing, that's at the catching me there. So what, you just tried to do Dry January and you were struggling?
I just went, oh my God, it was absolutely awful. I never expected it to be so hard. I got to like day 4 and like, I just drank every night. And I wasn't langers. I wasn't like that person. I never drank at home, never had alcohol in the house or anything, but just out all the time. Like I live in Spain, so of course, lads.
Yeah.
I was on stage all the time and it would get to like 4 or 5 o'clock and I was like, I don't know what to do if I'm not drinking. And that was terrifying, you know. And then I got really bad depression, probably, because like you think that like 30 days and you feel great, like you don't.
No.
It takes ages.
Also, it's a bad time as well.
Yeah, it is.
Someone said it to me, January just gone, something, they asked someone to go for a drink, they're like, oh, Dry January. And you're like, you're set up to fail.
You're coming down.
You're set up to fail. After Christmas, and January's already bleak enough as it is. Now you're going to torture yourself.
Yeah, totally.
But I think the idea of Dry January is you're having such a blowout in December that you just need to recover for January.
Yeah, but I think, I'd say if you'd done the study on it, surely ease your way off that would be the best way of getting off it completely rather than going hard stop now.
But is the people actually making that decision to fully stop in January?
Yeah, that's probably January.
Well, I think a lot, I don't know whether it's meant to be, but I think a lot of people nowadays just go dry January, I'll do 30 days of it.
Yeah.
But I don't think people are making a decision to
just stop from then on.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, in those 30 days, imagine how hard that 30 days is going to be.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were like, do you know what, I'm just going to ease back. Maybe I won't drink this weekend and I'll go next week.
I think that comes from, a lot of that as well comes from a financial point of view.
Yeah.
They're just fucking smashed.
Yeah.
You know, from
and
the
you feel gross.
Yeah, of course.
After Christmas, you feel
gross. They're just in a heap, like, and it's like, I need to stop at 30 bleeding days. Yeah. Like.
But what I realised as well with alcohol is that I wasn't even drinking. I think kind of why I felt that I could have that freedom was because I realised in the year, of, or the 417 days, who's counting, of being completely
that's impressive,
sober. But... Yeah, yeah. Being completely sober, because I smoked a lot of weed as well.
Yeah.
I love marijuana. And I realised that I was drinking for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So like I would have never, even like I know not to be too personal, but like even the ride, like I would never have, I mean, I can't even think. Like, I've always have had a drink before sleeping with someone.
Mm.
Like, can you imagine that?
So you're not in the moment.
And I remember the first time kissing someone sober, and I felt like I was 14. And the first time I slept with someone, oh my God, I didn't know what to do. I was absolutely mortified. Honestly, I was so embarrassed. Like, even just being nude and like, it was just this. It was a really, really eye-opening experience of like, I've really numbed myself to get through intimate moments because I don't think I come from a family where we kind of talk about things.
Yeah.
So every kind of sweet or tender moment I had with members of my family would have been drunk, you know, like would have been after a few drinks and then we'd hug or cry, but I wouldn't have been in any time would have been in a sober moment. So that's how I learned to be vulnerable was after a few drinks, you know. So then having to relearn that was, but knowing that I think is why I was able to come out the other side of it and have a better relationship with alcohol because I realized, oh, I'm doing it because of this.
Yeah.
Mm. You know?
I think that's just an aspect as well that people don't even think about.
Yeah.
Is like intimate moments.
Oh my God.
And I mean sexually, like.
Yeah, yeah. As an Irish person, oh my God. It was so embarrassing. Like so, so difficult. So difficult. Like it is. Because you're just not, you know, you just don't know kind of, it's the most natural thing in the world, like, but you're just so used to being, and I'm only talking about a few, like, few shots.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then you feel you're like, fucking, yeah, let's go, you know, but then, like, sober, you're like, oh my God, like, I just, you know.
Yeah.
But, for someone who's such a free spirit, Cole, you seem so stable as well.
Yeah.
You have such stability.
Yeah, thank you. That's a lovely thing to say.
But it seems like you've came, I don't know, through a road with the stabilizers on.
Yeah.
And now the stabilizers are off. You're like, no, I can do this myself.
Yeah. Totally.
And now you're wheeling down the road.
Now I'm fucking with a bottle under the back wheel.
Yeah. Revving her up.
Yeah. You remember that? That was cool. Yeah. I think I just got to a fit. I'm very lucky. I just think I went through all this stuff and I don't know. As I said before, right, we focus so much on everything. Everything is something and everything. And like, you're an alcoholic and you're this and I'm ADHD and I'm dyslexic and I'm dyspraxic and I have this. And then you just get to a certain point in your life, you're like, I'm kind of exhausted.
Mm.
Like, I just want to be myself. And if that doesn't fit into the mold that you expect, that's absolutely fine. But it's certainly not my business. So I spent my time fighting for myself and standing up for myself. And now, lads, say, if I go back to myself at 20, fucking, I didn't say nothing. Just say nothing. Just go about. There's a lovely expression in Buddhism, and it says, if you have a road full of hot coals and you have enough leather to cover the whole road, just make your own shoes. And that's what I do. I just make my own shoes, and then who will follow. But I feel very at peace. You know what I mean? I feel very at peace with it.
Is this a call back to the cobbler thing at the start?
There you go. Yeah. Hey.
Why to you?
Federico, I never stop thinking about you.
Yeah. Yeah. Chill. So you mentioned earlier, well, you just touched on it, that you started comedy in Barcelona.
Yes, I did. I started comedy in Barcelona.
How does that come about?
That came about actually very interestingly. I did on Instagram. I was always doing characters on Instagram. I love doing characters and like silly voices and whatever else. And I got invited on to do a podcast with Mike Rice. You know Mike Rice from Kilkenny? And doing his podcast, he called me a comedian, which I was like, I'd never been kind of considered I was like, I'm not a comedian. He's like, you're not a stand-up, but you're producing comedy. So like, you are a comedian. No? I'll take that.
Take the box.
I was like, I'll take that. And then I really fancied him. And I never really fancy Irishmen usually, but I just really fancied him. And he was in there in Barcelona and I just wanted kind of to impress him. And I was drinking very heavily at the time as well. And I went with him to an open mic and there was like 15 people in the audience and they were all Italian just by chance. And he's like, you should go up and like do it in Italian. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, I should, you know. Which I was shitting myself because I'd never done anything like it. So I took a shot of whiskey and I went up on stage and I said in Italian, I was like, listen, I'm just interested in your man. And I'm trying to impress them. So if you could just like have a weird crack here at me. And they were loving it, sure. And everyone was like, oh my God, you crushed. And I was like, yeah, I crushed. Never got to ride Mike. He's like my best friend now. I love him. But like, yeah, that's how we kind of started. And then like a few months later, I did it in English. But again, I wish I could say, oh, it's always my dream and it was so easy. But lads, I did it in English and I was like, fuck, it's awful. It's really hard. Like, it was so hard. But I don't know, something just compelled me to do it. I don't know what it was. Something just pushed me. And then my granny died that last night. My granny was dying. I was in bed with her and she was fucked. Like, and I was looking at her. She's 97. Like, she lived a full life. And I was like, I just have to do it. I don't know what it was. There's something in my ear. I was like, I need to just take that leap and do it. So I properly did it because I kept booking shows and dropping out. Because it's hard to try and fail, right? It's hard to try something and not succeed.
Yeah.
Your ego gets hurt and that's a lot more difficult. So I was like, I just need to try. At least say I tried. And then the minute I did that, the universe is like, all right, here we go. Now we'll reward you because you're doing it. And then I got sober and then that changed my whole like creative process and also just calling yourself a comic, right? Like all that took a lot of time.
So were you getting on stage when you were drinking?
Yeah. Yeah,
what was the difference like then when you stopped?
Oh, it's just so quick. I was so quick when I was sober. So quick.
Was it more nerve-wracking though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, great. Because you spend so much time drinking and hungover that you get a bit numb, don't you?
Yeah.
So then when you're sober and like, I remember, because it's a bit boring, to be honest. It was a little bit boring. I'll be completely real. It was a bit boring. So I used to like do things to make myself feel more stuff. So like, I used to be afraid of flying. I'd take off and look out the window. Whereas before I'd just sit back like this, I'd be like, fucking, just to feel a buzz, you know? And it's terrible. So when I got up sober, it was, oh my God, I'll never forget it. It was like my first time getting up.
That's what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
I'd imagine it was.
It was. It was my first time getting up. My heart was beating. And when I'm nervous, I shake involuntarily. Like, so my leg shakes and my hand shakes. So I was shaking mad. And then I don't know, I can't remember when it just kind of got better or easier or I was more confident. Maybe just doing it all the time.
Well, you're more nervous getting up the first time sober than you were the first time when you'd been drinking.
Yeah.
It was more nerve-wracking even than your very first time getting up to a stage.
Yeah. I was langers my first time.
Mm.
Langers. I was great, like, but I was langers.
You mentioned creativity there as well.
Yeah.
Is that just in terms of coming up with it, everything just felt better?
Everything felt better and clearer and faster, and I could see that it was very obvious different. It wasn't subtle at all.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say it's my creative flow to get high or to smoke weed or to drink, and you're like, you're poisoning the well.
Mm.
You're lying to yourself.
You need the clarity, like.
Yeah. You're lying to yourself. Yeah. And I really believe that. And that's a big statement to make because everyone's different and not everyone, but I'm telling you, clear mind is a strong mind. You know, and that's coming from me that sometimes I still have a drink, sometimes I'll have a smoke, you know, like sometimes I'll have a gummy, but clear mind, there's nothing like it, lads. Because you're firing from all cylinders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just are, like. That's not to say that you can't do it both ways.
Of course, yeah.
But there's a different buzz when you're completely in the moment. You're very present. And you're feeling the nerves and the butterflies and the everything in the room. Like, it's class. Yeah,
that's it. You're in tune.
You're in tune.
Your body's telling you what's happening in your environment around you.
Do you ever read Poor by Katrina O'Sullivan?
Yeah.
Yeah, on the beam. That's what she says. Mm. You're on the beam. I love that expression. You're on the beam. Yeah. That's what that is. You're on the beam, big time.
So was there no background to comedy in your family at all?
No.
So this was just this complete... No.
Completely. Would you believe, remember Des Bishop years ago did that documentary, went around to disadvantaged areas.
Join the hood.
Yeah. Oh, well done. Fucking, I didn't know the name of that at all.
We had Des.
Unison.
We've had
Des
and every comedian that's been involved in that.
Oh, right. Yeah. So my mom signed me up. We watched that and I was only 15 and my mom signed me up to do a stand-up course in Dublin.
Why though?
She just always said, she was like, you're funny. Like, she just thought I was very funny.
Fair play to her.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but she knew.
Well, glad that she was right. Because a lot of parents can be like oblivious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And go, my kid's funny.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. She always was like, you could do that. You could
especially since you the message home you would have been getting from teachers as well. Is that like, she needs to try hard at school. Because she's not trying hard at she's not getting this. And your mom being like,
no, no.
Maybe you should try comedy.
My mom is my biggest fan.
Yeah.
My mom, like, all through school, like, the teachers were giving out. And she knew there was something wrong. I hadn't been diagnosed, but she was like, there's just something else there. Like, she kept pushing for me. And my mom was young.
Mm.
My mom was very young. So, like, it was hard, you know what I mean? But, like, she has always been just number one. Like, I'm so lucky. Like, she is an absolute, she's an angel. I don't know, even if I'm half the woman she is, I'll be proud of myself. She's something else, lads. Mm. So, yeah, she was my biggest fan. But no, I've never been, always a messer, like, always in trouble, but I never thought I'd be able to make money off it.
So what is the dream now in comedy?
I think I'm living it.
Right. I like that answer. That was clever, that.
Yeah.
That was clever.
I think I'm living it. I think I am. I just want to keep doing it. If I can keep doing this, I mean, it's incredible. Look at us, we're at work.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Mm. We're doing it. And there's no finish line in creativity. There's no finish line in art. It's just being able to be an artist. And here we are. I mean, one more. I mean, it's so... It's so cool.
It was an educated answer. I wasn't expecting that. I thought you were going to go, well, I want to do here or there. You were just like, no, I'm living the fucking dream.
Yeah, of course I have things that I'd like to reach, but I also believe in divine timing, and if it's not meant for me, once I keep working hard and I stay on the beam and I do my thing, well, it's meant to be, it'll be, you know, I'm happy. And that's, a lot of people my age aren't happy and they're doing something they don't love. So I'm just grateful that I found something. I've spent plenty of years behind a bar, which I loved, but I'm tired. I'm happy to do something that gives me joy and I'm passionate about and I'm fucking good at it, and that feels nice to finally fucking be good at something. Do you know these cunts that pick up a tennis racket at three and they're like they're amazing?
Yeah.
I just never took me years to learn how to ride a bike, took me years to learn how to swim. I was never quick, never. This, you know, I'm 3 years in and I'm doing it and I'm like, alright, this is my, you know, in X-Men where he comes to your house in the wheelchair, you know, savior, and he's like, you are a mutant. I was waiting for that moment my whole life. I was like, give me my thing. Come on, lads. Just please give me one thing I'm good at. And it was just waitressing and long distance running. Yeah. But I was like, these aren't things I can do. You know, I need to be like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See the way you said you'd done that gig in Italian. Yeah. Have you performed in other languages as well?
No, just Italian and English. Right. Yeah, yeah. Just, and I'm not as funny in Italian by any means. You know what I mean? But
they just have a higher bar. Don't mind them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what they're. Or shitter.
One or the other. Yeah,
wear more crack.
Yeah. And then you said you were always a messer.
Yeah, yeah, I loved it. I loved a bit of I loved it being a rogue.
Yeah, you done a bit of messing with the US.
I did.
Donald Trump photos.
Yeah, 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 yeah. When Conor McGregor as well.
Mm, you look a very controversy.
Yeah. Oh, with Donald Trump. Yeah, yeah. I got loads of people got in so much trouble for that. That wasn't even that bad. I don't even remember. I just did a reel about him, and what did I say? It was after he got shot, or well, kind of got shot. What did I say again? I can't even remember. I said something about getting shot and then I winked because I did the Irish wink. That was kind of my big thing. And then I said, I can't even remember what I said because I don't even, lads, Instagram. I just throw shit at the wall and hope to God something sticks. I made a reel about him and I said something and then everyone, all the Trump supporters, oh my God, they went for me. Death threats and everything. I was like, well, sorry about that.
Well, what was the out? Because you said he barely got shot or something.
I'm just knowing that you got death threats over it.
Yeah, I don't even, I honestly don't even remember what I said. It was just, but like, shite. Shite. Like, I picked up the phone on the way to the gym and I said, oh, what did I fucking say again? I can't even remember. I had to delete it because it just was getting too much fucking nonsense on it. But yeah, yeah. But like, whatever.
Yeah.
There's nobody, like, have you ever sat and commented under someone's reel negatively?
No.
Because you're successful and you're happy, so.
Yeah. You know? I just thought it's very topical, you know, with the bleeding.
Yeah,
and all that, and you're like,
it's painful, isn't it?
I just think the world is painful. You know what I mean?
Like, bit of a tough time.
Yeah, like I go online, I'm like, I'll delete this right now, and then I'll get this little ray of light.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can't delete this. This is fucking golden, like, do you know what I mean? No.
And also, it's currency, and you must look at it like currency.
Yeah.
Right now, it's currency, and once you are, it's only important as the importance you give it.
Yeah.
Right now, Instagram is currency. That's okay. You know, if we can make money from it and we can promote what we want to promote, that's fine. And all the rest that comes with it, that's fine too. You know, but you just must focus on your own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think we're really blessed on social media, though.
Yeah, definitely.
We don't really ever get it.
Yeah.
But that's not being blessed, lads.
I don't think we post in the volume of someone like yourself. Yeah, you know, comedians, they have to post so much.
You have to be. Especially, like you said, I think that line of work involves that.
Yeah, you put it out there.
And then I think on the law of averages of that, you're going to piss off a certain sector and that's where you're going to get it.
And I always think, like, because it's usually, like, not being mean to men, but it's always middle-aged men that absolutely fucking hate me. And I know 100% in my heart of hearts, if they were in front of me in a club, I'd make them laugh. I'm like, I don't care what you say, because you're in front of me, I'd make you giggle.
And
I'd
don't
make you giggle
us,
like a schoolgirl.
We take it to our next show and she'll prove it to you.
Yeah, the Olympia Theatre, the 20th of April.
That's a good sell.
Anyone say you're on tonight?
Yeah, I'm in the Crackdown and International, but I'm just doing spots. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Me and Fred Cook and Martin Angolo.
You had Fred on as well.
Yeah. Legend. Do you know, I tell you a funny story about Fred. I did the Drogheda Comedy Festival and I never met him in person. And I went down to go running, but I went for my breakfast first. So I had running gear on and he was there and he said, can I sit with you? And we had only known each other online. I was kind of like, yeah, okay, you know. And he sat down and he's an absolute genio, like such a legend. And he was saying to me, he saw the running gear and he's like, are you going to go running? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to just go and do running down the River Boyne. And he was like, so what do? You just like leave the hotel and like jog? And I was like, yeah, Fred, I just run. I just couldn't get his head around it. I just go left to right. And how do you know when to turn around? I was like, Fred, have you never ever jogged?
You always see people saying that. It's like a meme on the internet. So it's like, what do runners do? Do you just go to the door and just
you
run?
You guys work out,
yeah. Yeah.
You guys train, right?
Yeah.
You run. Like, yeah. I love running. Yeah.
I love it. I don't know what I'd do without running.
I'd be in prison. I'd be beating the shit out of someone.
You do a lot running in prison as well.
You do a lot of running in prison. That's true. Yeah.
You mentioned your Olympia Day there, Cole.
Yeah, the 20th. You guys should come. I promise it's really good.
20th of April.
It's Easter Sunday.
Mm.
You got to bring eggs.
You caught me on a bad weekend.
Yeah. Well, sure, look, next time.
I'll be there anyways.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to come.
Is that going to be a bigger show today?
I've done it in January already.
You've done it in January?
Yeah,
how did you find that?
Oh my God.
Cork Opera House would be bigger than that.
No, it's not.
It's not?
The Olympia is 1,250 seats. Opera House is 1,000.
Really? That place looks huge.
Yeah. I mean, it's wider. Yeah. The Olympian is, I have never seen a venue. It's like a waterfall.
So narrow. Yeah.
I don't think that, like, architecturally you could do it nowadays.
No.
But it is. Oh my God. Because I had never performed there and I walked out. And I was in very good form. Like, I crushed it. And I was just going in on it. And everyone was laughing. And it was like, because when people are laughing, lads, like, I can't explain that feeling. Because when you're laughing, you're not thinking about anything. You're not future or past. You're very much present. And having everyone laughing. Oh, my God, it was class. Mm. It was such a high. Oh, my God, it was such a high. It was so cool.
But see, with this going on, all the shows that you could do here.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about just coming home?
Yeah, I do all the shows I can without having to come home, like. You know, because like if I was down in Cork and I had to come to Dublin, it would take me hours anyway. And from Barcelona, it's only a 2-hour flight. And I get to live in Barcelona. And my rent, I've got my own apartment. It's €600 a month. Where am I going to get €600 a month in Dublin?
I'm sorry I asked. You know that? I said to put me piece there. Yeah. That's that. Check that one off.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
So tickets are on sale, obviously, for the next Olympics.
There's not much left. So I'm hoping this weekend now is my weekend of like pushing to try and get people. There's only about 300 left.
And where can people get tickets?
Ticketmaster, or my Instagram, Kyla Cobbler Comedy, or on kylacobbler.com. I've got a website now as well, which is new. This is exciting. I'm terrible at this kind of stuff.
Can you tell the story about your manager? Why your manager rang you and said on the way?
Oh yeah, so my manager, my beautiful, amazing manager, Viveka, is Swedish, and I was coming in obviously to meet you guys, and I was on the phone to her, and she's like, look, their accents are very strong, so just get ready. She's like, you can tell me where they're from because I can't work it out. And I was like, I'll do my best with Becca, but it might be. But she's so funny because obviously she's Swedish and we've worked together very closely for a year. And the Irish slang, she gets stuck on it. So I'd be like, oh my God, he's pure right. She's like, yes, we're on such a ride.
Yeah.
And she's like, we had a crack, didn't we? And I'm like, we did have a crack. So we're getting there with her. But she is like, yeah, I'm surrounded by very cool people. I'm very grateful. Very, very cool people.
So everyone listening, go on to Kyla Cobbler Comedy on Instagram, go to our website or link in the bio or whatever and get your tickets for our Olympia date.
Yeah. When's this coming out? Probably over by then, no?
No.
It's so funny.
No.
Oh, no? You're like weekly.
Thursday. Next week.
Oh,
next
is
week.
It?
Yeah. Next week.
Oh, great, lads. Yeah, this will give me a good. But everyone I talked to, I was like, oh my God, they're amazing. You're going to get so much. They love you guys.
Who?
Everyone.
And Kyla hasn't listened to an episode.
Yeah.
That is true.
I said,
it threw me under the bus. I listened to your work. I looked at your clips, but I just didn't listen to. I didn't listen to the.
You'd
episode.
Be surprised who we've had on. You'll scroll through and be like, "Fuck."
No, I'm not saying it. Oh my God, I am very much out of the loop, lads. I am by no means saying that it's because I don't know. No.
You have a 2-hour flight back to Barcelona.
I'm going to download all of it.
And walk away then.
Yeah, I want to listen to the Coolio one now.
Yeah, it's good crack. That was about 3 years ago.
Yeah,
three or four.
So, how did you start doing this?
Lockdown.
Hang on.
Together.
We asked you the question.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just getting to know you guys. I'm very comfortable. I thought that would be
nice. This is how that works.
Maybe people are asking at home, wondering, I wonder how the two lads got involved.
They've listened.
We've been through all this.
Fair.
If you had a listened back,
that's very true. I'll go back to episode one. I'll go back to episode
that's
one.
That's an extra listener. You know what I mean? Get them numbers.
I will. Absolutely.
But yeah.
Are we at the end?
We did it. Natural end.
Are we sure?
Yeah, well, for me, I'm very good. I'm sick shit. No, I'm kidding.
Just like, get me out of here.
Have you anything else you want to plug or mention or bring up? Anyone else that you're pissed off? Or no?
No, I don't think so. No, I think it's all fine. Yeah, it's all. No, I don't think there's anything. Yeah, everything's great.
Right, we'll wrap this one up then.
Before we wrap up, a big shout out to our sponsor, FBT. FBT Gyms is the best in the business, giving you so much more than your average gym.
Join us in a supportive environment dedicated to helping you achieve your fitness goals. With locations in Swords, Coolock, Drogheda, and the new location now open in Tallaght.
Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned athlete, FBT provide resources, motivation, and expertise to empower your fitness journey. Unleash your potential at FBT Gym for only €44 a month with no contract and full class access. Sign up at fbtgyms.ie today.
Take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
Talking Bollocks with FBT Gyms. Unleash your potential at FBT Gyms, where strength meets community. FBTGyms.ie.
Go loud. Sounds better with us.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and long. When you feel it down.
The Hip Knocker.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.